my name is Rod Humphries, and I mean, it's kind of old news now because it was back in April. But yes, I had a very public row with Keir Starmer outside and inside my pub. I was extremely angry with him for failing to challenge the government on its disastrous response to COVID, the whole lockdown thing. As we probably all know now, it's done a great deal more harm than good. And I was beside myself with anger, and he copped it in front of the world's media, the TV cameras. And it made for entertaining viewing. It made me a household word for, 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think you need to plug the name of your pub in case anyone is interested in actually dropping in for a pint.
Yes, if anybody wants an exceedingly good beer or a pie, the Raven in Bath will sort you out. Do go and enjoy our hospitality. We will serve you to the best of our ability, which hopefully will be okay. I'm sure it will.
Yeah, because I think it's fair to say that pubs and landlords have suffered immensely, not just over the last decade or so since the bailouts in 2008, when we've seen pubs closing at an alarming rate, and also, I mean, which is an important part of our lives. It's almost as if humanity, at least in Britain, is being herded onto TV, social media, rather than chatting face to face with, local neighbours, people just dropping by. This whole sort of sense of, the sort of randomness of a joy of meeting somebody you probably never see again in a pub and having a nice chat with them. That seems to be slowly being squeezed out and onto the mass media and onto social media. But you're saying something quite controversial there, and that is that the lockdowns didn't work. Now, we know this was a dangerous virus, and lockdowns were surely necessary in order to at least to stop it spreading so fast. You must surely agree with that.
Not in the slightest. The evidence from all over the world is that the virus has done what the virus has done. And on the whole, the places that haven't done the nonsense we've done, haven't done lockdowns and masks and all that stuff, have done better. Sweden, for example, we have the example of the Dakotas and Florida and Texas. Their outcomes have generally been broadly similar in terms of the virus, but the outcomes have been far better in terms of social harm, depression, alcoholism, anorexia, suicide. Economic, which of course has an impact medium and long term on health, cancer. So yes, lockdowns are a failed experiment, if they were an experiment. And that was obvious at the time back in April when I had my row with Mr. Starmer.
Well, look, hang on though, because I agree with you. What you're saying is that there's been broadly similar outcomes now. I mean, we're what is it, 20 months on from March 2020, that fateful month. But the great thing about the lockdown is that it actually spreads the load, so that although the virus, many people would argue, is bound to go through pretty much the whole community eventually, it just slows that process down and gives the health service a chance to deal with it.
So if they had done what they said they were going to do, I can see some sense in that. However, we know from, in fact, from Chris Whitty himself, I think, that the levels of infection were falling before each of our three lockdowns. So clearly the lockdown hasn't actually even done that.
OK, so how do you think the response, the vaccine, how's that going? Because this was certainly put across right from the start, which I found a bit odd, as some kind of knight in shining armour on the horizon.
So I am deeply sceptical about the vaccines, simply from my own experience. As you probably know, I'm undertaking this needle bar listening project in this large cage where I'm currently sitting. But part of that's driven by the fact that in my ordinary circle of acquaintance, I now know more people who've been hurt by the vaccine than by the virus, which doesn't make any sense to me if the vaccine is the solution.
Well, I'll tell you why that is. That's because you're known as the person that is sceptical about all this, and those people surely have just come to you, Rod, because they know you'll listen, whereas maybe the BBC won't.
No, I mean my ordinary circle of acquaintance, people I've known for years and years and years.
So why is that then? What's going on with this virus?
So I do not know. I do know that, as my understanding is, that the facts that I challenged Keir Starmer with back in April haven't changed. The average age of death with coronavirus is older than the average age of death normally. And that the excess death we've had in 2020 was similar to 2008 and less than every preceding year.
Okay, and what about the vaccine? Because I know just tell us a little bit about this bus you mentioned.
Right, so it has seemed to me that the whole thing around the vaccine and the fact that it's clearly doing harm to some people, perhaps only a small number, I don't know how many, and that it seems fairly obvious that the stories of those who are hurt are not acceptable. That there's a very one-sided narrative, which to me seems extremely unfair. I feel that the whole thing is extremely unusual and unpleasant. I'm not used to having this huge pressure to take a medical intervention, which I clearly don't need, having had coronavirus, not being particularly vulnerable to coronavirus, like, as we all know, 99.8% of the population. It seems entirely out of proportion. And I dislike it intensely.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a very good reason for the vaccine, isn't there? And that is that we're now in a situation where it looks like there won't be a lockdown. I shouldn't actually, maybe I'm tempting fate, but hopefully there won't be a lockdown in Christmas here. It looks like there will be in countries like possibly France, but most likely Germany, Austria, etc. But, you know, that's because Britain is so, or is it 80 or 90% vaccinated?
Well, if you say so, I think we all know that there is a lot of data widely shared on the internet, which broadly shows that more vaccination seems to lead to more coronavirus. And indeed, I believe we actually have had more virus circulating through the summer than we did, this year than we did last year. And as we all know, as Boris told us the other day, the vaccine doesn't stop us catching it, doesn't stop us spreading it, which if lockdowns are supposed to do that, what's the vaccine got to do with lockdowns?
Well, that's a great question. Anyway, look, tell us a bit more about this bus. What's your plans?
Right. My plan is to listen. I feel that one of the things that a pub is for meeting and talking, and that when you have a problem, particularly when something is not being talked about, that is what you have to do. You have to talk about it. You actually have to get it all out on the table and see what it is. And that's the point of this bus. Me and a team, we have a great big bus. And we're going round the country recording individual stories. And when I say individual stories about the vaccine, I mean of all kinds. Every story, whether negative to the virus, to the vaccine, or positive, is equally welcome. And we're doing the stories of anybody who would like. So if you give us a call, email us, we will come to you and record your story and publish it as widely as we possibly can on all the available channels. So that's sort of half the project. The other half is we have a bar on the coach. And we're going to all kinds of different places, mainly where we're requested. We're opening the bar, and the government had offered vaccines for pizzas, or pizzas for vaccines. We're offering beer for stories. Anybody that would like to talk about the vaccine, come and have a beer on us, or a cup of tea, or a glass of wine. Come and have a crack in the bar, and let's talk about this. And if the people that come and talk to us are willing, we will publish that too.
Well, hang on, because it's just right now getting pretty cold. We've got a north wind coming in. Have you got mulled wine?
We haven't got mulled wine, but we can. It's a good idea. Tony, that's a good idea. Thank you very much. We might stop that.
Okay. But listen, you're saying you're coming to them, but actually your bus is going around, isn't it? How do people keep track of where you are? If they like to tell you their story, it may be that they may have to wait a while for the bus to hit their part of the country before they come and say hello. How do people keep track of you?
So you can find us on Twitter. at Needle Stories, I think. And we have a website, theneedlebar.co.uk. No, sorry, needlebar.co.uk. I ought to know this stuff. And we're launching, I think, on Friday, late on Friday, where all the usual channels will find us.
Okay. And is there a sort of protocol for getting in touch? Is it email first or just turn up?
Email, but by all means, turn up. We will be obviously publishing where we are, and our doors open to everybody of every persuasion, every opinion. We would like to be argued with, disagreed with. We would like to hear everything.
Sounds to me like you've got, you're sort of living the dream there with your own mobile pub.
Well, I suppose, but given that I'll be driving, I won't be drinking any of my own wares.
And can you give us an idea of roughly what parts of the country you're planning to visit?
Not really, because we are going where we're called, and we will be releasing where we're going to be next fairly near to the time we're going to be there.
So I know you're...
There's no particular plan.
I know you're planning to start off in Gloucester. Do you know roughly how long you'll be there and when you'll be off somewhere else?
We'll be off we'll be arriving on Saturday and we'll be staying for 3 days.
Okay, Rod Humphreys, The Needle Bar, thanks very much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you, Tony.